the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Yeah, I'm pulling it open, then we'll bring you in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. I have on the line with me right now, Gene. Gene, how you doing, man?
All right, how you doing, Will?
Doing good, man, doing good. Everything is going well. You guys can do exactly what Gene just did. Call in 706-993-4606, 706-993-4606. Is that number for you guys to call in? Got a little bit to talk about tonight. Get into all this Anthony Davis stuff. Oh, my.
Crazy timing.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. We're going to get into all that. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about some Tom Brady issues. There's some Todd Gurley stuff. Is this the key for the Rams to beat the Patriots? We're going to bring up some LeBron stuff with the Lakers and this tampering stuff. And then we're going to get on out of here for the night. Again, if you guys want to jump in where you fit in, 706-993-4606, 706-993-4606. First thing I'm going to ask you, Gene, all this Anthony Davis stuff, he made a request for a trade from the New Orleans Pelicans. How does this change the landscape of the NBA? It's like these small market teams don't stand a chance now.
Yeah, the small market teams don't stand a chance, but you know, some correlation with the Lakers and LeBron and his team and Anthony Davis, they share the same agent, sports agent. So then, it's surprising that it's coming out now. I thought they would wait till maybe after the season and make a big play or a big push to get him. But I think LeBron is trying to make the playoffs because they're in fear of not making the playoffs. So I think they're making their push now. The only other thing about that, like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the shooting guard on that team, he also has the same agent as LeBron and Anthony Davis. So that's why when the rumor came out, and then they rumored the guys that would possibly get traded, which was Kuzma, Ball, and one other one there, Ingram. Mm-hmm. And it surprised me because Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is probably the least talented out of those guys, and his name wasn't mentioned.
Yep.
So that tells me, okay, well, that's their agent, you know, and he's coming over from the Pelicans and then LeBron. So it let me know. I think that's what the inner workings are. I think it's going to happen. I think these other teams are just smoke screens. I think they already got it figured out how they go get this guy there. But there was a report just came out maybe like 5 minutes ago before we got on air that Ball's team said that he will not play for the Pelicans.
Yes, I did see that. And how long is Ball going to make any type of demands like that? He hadn't done it. He hadn't played that well or that long to make a demand like that.
Who, Ball?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's him. I think it's his dad.
Okay.
I think it's the team, his manager or his agent. That's the way it was written up in that article. It's more or less like his team. Mm. And you know, but I can see his dad mentioning that. You know, they live out in California. You know, he always wanted his son to be a Laker. He wanted the other ones to be a Laker, but it didn't work out that way, like I said, this whole thing doesn't surprise me at all, because they let the cat out the bag. Like when LeBron went to LA, he was the obvious option of being able to join the Lakers and getting out of a contract versus those other names that have popped up at certain times with Kawhi Leonard and those guys or whatever. But this makes total sense because they need a center.
They do.
I don't know if you get rid of how you play JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler if he does come, because I like the young foreigner that they have at center. I like his game, period. I think they should keep that guy around.
Yes, I know you speak of, yeah.
Yep, but it don't surprise me. And this is typical LeBron-esque behavior, you know what I mean? So, like the injury. I thought the injury was fabricated. I thought maybe he may have strained it or pulled it. But we don't know the real extent of his injury.
Of course.
But, and he's been off for a little while. So, but I think there's reason behind that. So I think this is all a part of the game.
Right now, the Lakers are 26-24, third place in the Pacific Division. And yeah, man, you're talking about Zubac. Ivica Zubac is that center you're speaking of, that young boy?
Yeah, I like. Speaking of? Yeah, the young boy.
Yeah,
oh,
he's
yeah.
really good. He's really good.
He's really good, and he's going to be an impact player. He's actually, to me, far as true center, a post player, block to block, rim to rim, he's everything you want, except for his hands. I've seen him drop a few, but that's just being young, and it'll get better.
And I'm looking at the roster. What do you think would be a fair trade for him? What do you think would be a fair trade for Davis, AD?
Looking at the Lakers roster?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Kuzma's the piece that they probably want to keep the most out of all the young guys, because they all have potential except for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. he just doesn't. He's decent, but I mean, how can I put it? He doesn't do anything for me, honestly. I think that would be something that could be worked out. But when you're looking at Josh Hart,
mm-hmm.
Brandon Ingram,
mm-hmm.
Kyle Kuzma,
mm-hmm.
And then you throw in the Lonzo Ball, and then you have either the Tyson Chandler, or because it's a size for size position, since AD's a big, you probably want to replace him with some size and should let some size go.
Right.
So JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler are definitely pieces that could be dealt too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think was it a first round pick that they said they would get? Also,
from what I heard, it's a first round pick that they would get.
Yeah, the first from the Lakers.
From the Lakers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from the Lakers. So you figure a first round pick in next year's draft, which has a lot of guards. You got the Zion Williamson. So some good things there with that first round pick, and I think that's the leverage that they'll use to keep one or two of these guys there. To be honest with you, I keep Kyle Kuzma. I get rid of Ingram.
Yeah,
he plays too much like a guard. He's a little too small in the butt, but he's 6'9". You can't coach size, but he wants to handle the ball and take guys off the dribble. He don't know how to post up, turn his back to the basket, so. He'll be a piece, but I like Kuzma. I think Kuzma is a step below Jason Tatum.
Yeah,
from the Celtics. I think they both got the same type of makeup, but he's not right there with Jason Tatum. But he's a decent player that's going to have some. He's definitely going to have some games as his career goes on. But yeah, but you got those type of pieces because you can't add Lance Stevenson. You can't add the Rajon Rondos. Those guys are gone.
Yeah,
nobody want to deal with those heavy because they're not heavy contracts, but for the years of service, just to have them around cost a team a lot of money, you know what I'm saying, as far as in a trade like this. But like I said, Ball Ingram, Josh Hart. Those are the three pieces that they need to look at. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But like I said, I don't know if that guy's going to go anywhere. Because that's one of LeBron's guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he might not go nowhere. Now, my only issue is the fact that when you look at the Pelicans, you look at small market. It's it's not like this trade hurts, because it is saying that unless you're playing winning basketball 24/7, and a lot of these small market teams are not, because they're having a hard time to find free agents and things of that nature. No one wants to stay there. No one wants to build. Is that more of today's player, or just the fact that small market teams can't do what a big market team can give you the benefit of a big market team, putting your name up in lights and things of that nature?
Yeah, I think so. I think the way the salary cap gets adjusted, and when those small market teams, to me, don't get the exposure on TV, when they don't get the brand name players and they don't win games, obviously, you know, they lack the money. And I think a lot of these other teams around the league is carrying those small market teams. But the way it's set up now, is if you win, you get what you want.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at Golden State, obviously. You know, and then I think he said to them, he said if he get traded, if that's a trade or option to the Golden State Warriors, that he would retire. Because he just don't want to go there. And that tells me a lot.
Yeah.
Because that tells me it's like, you know, it's either a certain player he don't want to play around, or he don't want to be labeled going to an easy team to win one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He just want to earn it. But, but these small market teams, because you look at the makeup of the West, the Western Conference, especially the ones the Lakers is in, it's a little tough.
Yeah.
Because you got Golden State, the Clippers, Sacramento, and then obviously Phoenix is failing to do anything. But those teams are all right bunched up together.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the Clippers and the Lakers and Sacramento. Sacramento's sitting at about 500 right now.
Yep.
So, I mean, LeBron knows right now. He's been in the league long enough. He knows that he has to get somebody else on that team to pull away from the rest of those three teams in that division.
Agreed. Now, there was a statement that came out a few hours ago. The Pelicans said in a statement that they will not let others pressure them into trading Anthony Davis. And they asked the league to enforce tampering rules and an obvious warning to the Lakers, who have been fined twice for a total of $550,000 for tampering by the league. Relevant to talks of a trade, we will do this on our terms and our timeline, Nolan said in a statement. One that makes the most sense for our team, and it will not be dictated by those outside of our organization. We have also requested the league to strictly enforce the tampering rules associated with this transaction. So, I guess this whole thing goes down into play when LeBron took AD out for that 2-for-20.
Yeah, that too, but my thing is what's going to hold up for them, and they can substantiate those claims that, you know, that there's, okay, well, yeah, he's tampering, he's talking to this guy, he's persuading him. It's just like me, you, and him sitting in a room together, and I'm on this team, you're just a third party. Hey, you can say, why don't you join the Lakers?
Right.
It's just that easy. But like I said, they can't stop a whole lot because they have the same agent.
True that.
So that puts them in the same war room at any given time. You know what I mean?
Yep. And
But I get where they're going with it, because they see the writing on the wall. You know, we all see the writing on the wall. We know what's about to happen. You know, and they calling it a heist. You know, and that's the media is so crazy. they call it a heist. It's not a heist. It's the same as because Booby was with the Pelicans, and then all of a sudden, this guy is with the Golden State Warriors. Now, that's a heist. So we're all just playing the same game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, do you think that another team might be able to come in there and maybe get AD away from the Lakers?
Well, I think, what were they saying? Was it the Knicks? I think were a possibility. The Celtics were a possibility. Mm-hmm. At this point, like I said, I think it's one of those things that's already been talked about behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But I think teams are probably scrambling to see what they can do to pick up a player like him, because who wouldn't want him? You know what I mean? So I think that's what teams are doing. But it's a big smoke screen. But I think, you know, once they start putting this whole picture together, because this one is more, I guess, realistic than the Kawhi Leonard, than the who was at earlier in the season, that was Kawhi Leonard, that was projected to go to the Lakers.
The only person I remember was Leonard. Paul George.
There you go. That was the next one. He's from California. So why wouldn't he want to play in his home state and all this other great stuff? But it was always not as realistic. This is a realistic situation here. And when you have the balls saying, well, if he goes to the Pelicans, well, we're not going to play. So that shows you how realistic that it all could be. But then that report came out a couple of days ago about how LeBron, which I don't believe he done that, because LeBron's a little too smart for that,
yeah,
and his team is too, how they wanted the coach out. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh yeah. But I said, and it was my total belief, LeBron has always been tough on coaches. So I sort of kind of thought that you may see him up out of there before the season was done.
Right, because he's a coach killer.
Yep.
He's a coach killer because he fails to want to listen.
Right.
You know, LeBron just, they come to the huddle, timeout. You know, he's already at the end of the damn bench or got his back turned or talking to his daughter six rows up. Hey, well, the coach is talking. So, but he's been known to be a coach killer. And like I said, I think that, a lot of pressure's on Walton. You know, he got to step his game up, too. You know, he got to call his dad. But like, yeah, he got to step his game up a little bit. But they just don't have the players.
Nope.
I mean, those guys they got on the team are all potentially going to be decent, you know, in the league.
Yeah.
But they don't have... They're nowhere near equipped like Golden State. But what we're seeing with Golden State is we're seeing them age a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why they're slowing down. But and that's what LeBron, I think his mindset is, as long as I got some youth around me and we can get up and down the court, we'll be A-okay.
The thing with Golden State, and plus another thing, too, Golden State, they are getting sort of kind of up there in age. Still a young team, but they're still kind of up there in age in terms of how long they've been together. Still a young team by numbers, but they've been an old team in terms of how long they've been together. I think it's kind of hard for them to stay motivated during the regular season.
Who is that? The
Warriors.
Golden State?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know what? After you win so much, it's like, you know, we know we're going to the playoffs, and we know what we got to do to win one.
Yep.
I think their biggest issue would be trying to get along for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Durant and his antics and his verbal bull crap coming out of his mouth. And I don't know where he become this tough guy at. I really don't. Every time I look at him, I'm like, man, this ain't the same guy that was playing against Westbrook.
Because
Westbrook would have probably punched him in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And, you know, he didn't act like that with Westbrook. He kind of, you know, just played his game or whatever, played his role or whatever. But here's the thing. I was just reading something here. It says, Agent Rich Paul has notified the New Orleans Pelicans that Davis has no intentions of signing a contract extension.
Yep.
None. With them.
None.
None. So we know where this is. So we know where this is going.
Yeah. Yeah. Now. Oh, real quick, before we get further along, there was some NBA action tonight. There was no really big games of note, but there was some NBA action tonight. We got the Hawks right now leading the Clippers 61-57 in the second quarter closing down. We got some finals. We got the Hornets over the Knicks 101-92. We got the Warriors over the Pacers 132-100. We got the Celtics over the Nets 112-104. Brooklyn's playing some good basketball. And we had the Nuggets over the Grizzlies, 95-92. So that's your NBA action for this evening. Let me see. Steph Curry had 26 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists tonight. Let me see what Trae Young did. You buying Trae Young from the Hawks?
I like him. That's all I can say. He didn't strike me, you know, coming out of college. You know, he didn't. He's a guard, yeah, he can shoot it, yeah, it was, you know, he kind of fizzled there towards the big games in college, coming, you know, to the draft, but he didn't show me, he's actually a lot better, he's got a little bit more, he plays a really clever game, a more shifty game, I guess you would say, because I watched him a few times this year. I think he needs to, you know, 2 or 3 more players with him down there, obviously. But, yeah, Trae Young, I think he's going to be okay. I like him.
He's got 17 points and 4 assists right now. 22 seconds to go in the second half. Hawks right now are 15-33 overall, 7-20 on the road. Yeah, they need some better players down there. But they're hanging tight right now. But they leading the Clippers 63-58. I also heard another rumor. While we're sticking with the association, I also heard another rumor tonight that Blake Griffin has requested a trade from the Pistons.
I can see that happen. He went there for the money.
Right.
Yeah, he went there for the money. Because he didn't fit that. You know, a guy plays in the West Coast for so long, and he goes to the East Coast. Like, man, what is he doing?
But the Clippers did him just, wrong. But the Clippers did him wrong by trading him the way they did. How the hell are you gonna put somebody jersey in the rafters and then or give it rafter status rather, saying we're never gonna trade you, and then all of a sudden you get traded.
And you get traded, and you were a mainstay.
Yeah,
you were a big time guy down there, and you know. But he also said too that I think he's saying that the Pistons is a work in progress.
Yeah,
and he knows, and he's done some things with his game, you know, because he can knock down the elbow jumper, and you know, he can push the ball pretty good. So we've seen some things change for him. I just don't know if the Pistons are a complete team. I don't know, man. They just seem like they had all the pieces, and then all of a sudden, it just fell apart.
Yeah. I also wanted to get onto this comment, and I'm trying to find it was something else that was said that I didn't personally see. I'm definitely have to look that up. But someone said Shaquille O'Neal said on TNT that Hakeem Olajuwon was better than Michael Jordan, and that has drawn a lot of criticism from people that I saw on Facebook. Because that's where I saw the rumor out, was on Facebook. And it's like it drew a lot of ire. A lot of people are saying Shaq has always been a Jordan hater. And the reason why he was saying that is because Hakeem bounced him out the playoffs. But if you give Hakeem that 2-year stretch when he won those finals.
And yeah, playing for Houston.
Oh my goodness!
This is probably about a year ago, and there was something going around on Facebook. Everybody's top 5 all time. Top 5 all time, and anybody who knows me, they know how much I love Hakeem Olajuwon.
I did too.
And this is the difference between Hakeem Olajuwon, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. This is the difference between him and Shaq. 2 or 3 feet away from the rim, Shaq is unstoppable.
Yep.
Hakeem Olajuwon could be up at the top of the three-point line and take a guy off the dribble and finish.
Yep.
And still play block-to-block basketball.
Yep.
He just had so much more athleticism to his game, and Shaq was just big.
Yeah.
He knew how to stay in the middle of the court. He knew how to go rim to rim. And he knew as long as he had somebody that could kind of knock it down on the outside, they can make some things happen on the inside.
Yep.
You know. But Hakeem Olajuwon, man, that guy get the ball, man. I see him rip it through. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This guy's playing like a guard.
Yeah.
You know, but to me, I think he just wasn't – Hakeem Olajuwon wasn't as dominant. And you got to remember, he played with Clyde Drexler.
Yep.
So, versus a Kobe, versus D-Wade, versus, you know, LeBron for a second, you know, everywhere he went besides in Shaq's latter years because he started getting injured. But, you know, he won titles and they were dominant. That's the only difference between him and Hakeem Olajuwon. But when you're talking about, like, as far as mechanics and technique mm-hmm. and fundamentals,
mm-hmm.
oh, man. This guy ain't got nothing on Hakeem Olajuwon. he was just a big ox.
Two-time NBA champion in 94-95. Two-time mm-hmm. finals MVP in 94-95. Most valuable player in 94. 12-time All-Star. Oh my goodness, 1985 to 1990, 1992 to 97, and six-time All-NBA first team, 1987 to 89, 93, 94, 97. The list goes on and on for Hakeem. Oh my goodness.
I always put him in my top five. I love Hakeem Olajuwon, man. And Shaq, you know, like I said, Shaq was just a big, what was he, 7'2"?
He was like 7'2", 300 some odd pounds.
7'2", 300 some odd pounds. Mm-hmm. Didn't move like a Zion Williamson or LeBron, but what can you do with him in the middle, right by the rim?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Number 34 was retired by the Rockets. 26,946 points. 13,747 rebounds. That's good for 11.1 rebounds per game throughout his career. 3,830 blocks. 3.1 blocks per game for his career. Oh, that's a tremendous player, man. Tremendous player. All right. Before we get into football, I want to remind everybody that we'll be doing a pre and post show right here on Rant and Radio. Super Bowl Sunday, we'll be doing the pre-show at 4 p.m. Super Bowl Sunday. Same number you will call into this show is what you'll call into that, 706-993-4606. We'll get out there and get you caught up on all the goings down throughout the week on the Patriots and the Rams. Even though I'm disappointed Brady is there, he's still there. Let me ask you a question, Gene. Can Tom Brady get his sixth ring this weekend?
I think so. Like I said, right before we got on there, I said, you know, the Rams haven't been there. Even though they're the more complete team, the more athletic team, has way more stars on that team, they haven't been in this moment. And Belichick and McDaniels have been in this moment with Tom Brady. Them three have been in the moment the last 10 years more than any other team. And unless he gets hurt, but they've been doing a really, really good job of protecting him. But unless something happens like that, because I don't even know who the backup is in New England. They don't ever talk about him.
I want to say Ryan Mallett, but I'm not sure on it.
Yeah, it might be Ryan Mallett. I have to look it up real quick. But anyway, but like I said, the only difference that I see is Goff has so many weapons on offense he can work with.
Yes.
Tom Brady has one.
Yes.
Tom Brady's defense, nowhere probably as good as the Rams' defense. and he's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Probably the worst, one of the worst New England teams they've had in a while.
Okay. So, okay, my bad. Real quick, I looked it up. It's Brian Hoyer. My bad. I forgot they signed him.
Oh, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Oh, the Browns old backup. Yeah. He probably still recovering from being with the Browns.
One thing that gets me, and we'll get into it a little bit more about the Patriots, I think that you can't start off slow against them. You have to start off fast. And you saw that in that you saw that in that Chargers and that Kansas City game where teams got off to slow starts against them. I think you have to start fast. You got to start fast and hit them hard. You have to exploit their weaknesses. I think that Todd Gurley, I think he might be the key to the Rams beating them because he can get out and pass routes, catch passes. I don't think the Patriots linebackers can keep up with them. I think the Rams DBs, if Marcus Peters plays his game, he can slow down Edelman. And I'm not so keen on anyone else on that team from the wide receiver position. You're probably looking at that outside of Edelman. You're probably looking at Philip Dorsett as your number two. It's like, and you look at their certain personnel, it's going to be, when you see Sonny Michel out there, they running the football. When you see James White come out there, you know he's going to be catching passes. You know ain't going to be no running play because it's going to be a pass play. So they give you tendencies on what they're going to do, but yet can't nobody stop it.
Yeah, because if you go back to the game against the Chiefs, the Patriots played pretty much real traditional football.
Yep.
They ran the ball a lot. They pounded it. They stayed in between the tackles. I think they ran three different running backs and a fullback. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, that means you're definitely trying to play power football, and they controlled the tempo of the game. I think they beat them up the court, beat them up the field, score a touchdown, and then hopefully when the defense does some things against Mahomes, because I've seen them blitzing a lot. I've seen them kind of stand in his face and whatever, because they know the secondary is shot. But I thought, for the most part, they controlled the clock and the tempo very well throughout that game by playing smash mouth football. They said, you know what, this is a high-powered offense we're playing. As long as they got the ball in hand, they're capable of beat them up, down the field, score, go to the sideline, gave Tom Brady good rest, come back out, do the same thing. But they kept it so conservative. It was really simple football. It wasn't really nothing where they said, you know what, we're the bigger team here, and we just going, you're going to have to beat me.
And there was nothing that not that saying that the Kansas City Chiefs defense is all that. Not saying that at all. But they give
No, they're a little weak.
Yeah, but they give you certain formations. They tell you, it's like you studying for an open book test and you fail it. Because they give you what they're going to do out of their base. And for some reason, the Chargers couldn't stop it. The Chiefs couldn't stop it. And then you start off slow on offense that make it even worse. And next thing you know, you either lose or you're in a dogfight.
Yeah, because I thought that the game against the one for the Patriots against the Chiefs, I thought it was a little bit more scripted. It looked like more scripted football.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is exactly what we're going to go do. We're not going to do, if we can get Edelman a couple passes, because Edelman obviously is not going to, you know, catch one, you know, on a go route, but on a quick slant, that's your guy. And there was two phases of the game, to me, that beat the Chiefs was, well, for keep them in the game, and then they had that good drive at the end, was Gronk. They didn't overuse Gronk, but when they did use him, it was big.
Yep.
So they just said, hey, we're going to run it, give it to Gronk. Run it, give it to Gronk. And then that other, Sonny Michel, he did a good job. The running back, other two running backs did a good job. the one receiver. What's the other receiver? What is White? What's his name?
James, the running back at the backfield. James White.
No, the receiver.
Philip Dorsett.
Philip Dorsett. Efficient. It wasn't nothing, like I said. It wasn't nothing major they were doing.
Mm-mm.
They just played a regular traditional game of football,
yep.
And I think they did. They slowed that tempo down because you know Tennessee plays so fast.
Yep.
And they're playing those no huddle packages and those tempo packages, and they just slowed them down for some reason.
Well, everything from the offensive side of the ball to the defensive side of the ball favors the Rams. I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see what we get from Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. It's going to be kind of interesting to see what we get there. Nikhil Roby-Coleman need to shut the hell up because he's talking shit about Tom Brady. He need to shut up and worry about what Brady going to do to him on Super Bowl Sunday. But I think the defense will come. I think this defense, with the star power that it has, will come to play. I think Dante Fowler's going to come to play. I think these guys will be ready. I think Mark Barron in particular will be ready to go. This defense should be giving Tom Brady some trouble as he try to hit those 3 to 5 drop back passes, 3 to 5 step drop passes. I think this defense should give him some trouble. I wish Cooper Kupp was in this game. I wish he wasn't hurt, but he's out. But the tight ends have been doing pretty good between Higbee and Everett. They've been doing pretty good. CJ Anderson has just come out of nowhere
stepped up to be the man again.
Yep. Robert Woods. You might see a big game from Robert Woods, but I think it's gonna be Gurley against those linebackers. That might be the key right there for the Rams to get this win. And yes, for those
I don't know, and I mean, if you look at how New England, I think they'll, you know, their main focus will be on Gurley, and I think Goff is just gonna have a pretty decent game. I got New England winning this by 3. Mm. And I think Goff is going to have a pretty good game.
Mm.
If they let this game get down in the trenches and it's pretty tight and they leave it in the hands of the ref, ain't no telling what's going to happen. Because obviously, they all need eye exams. They're definitely playing blindfolded.
Yeah.
I've never seen nothing more worse in my life. Man, that's horrible. But yeah, but if it stays close, like I said, I just don't see the Rams having that, you know, because they don't have the lineage there.
Right.
They haven't been there, you know. This is the New England Patriots. I mean, once they get to the Super Bowl, it's like, man, these guys know how to play a really terrific game of football. I think maybe out of the last 10 years, maybe 3 of those years, 4 of those years, they didn't do so well.
Yeah.
But still, you know, this has been by far to me the less talented team they've had the Super Bowl.
I think so too. If it comes down to field goal kicking, both teams have some very good field goals kickers in Kaskoski and Greg Zuerlein. So if it comes down to that, that might be a wash. So let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, I don't have a horse in the race. Hopefully, I'm hoping this is a good game and that'll blow out one way or the other. Let the fans win this game. Because I don't have a team in the race. Very quickly, what do you think the Steelers should do with Antonio Brown now?
I'll get rid of him. I mean, you know, let him go. They just part ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time that Pittsburgh has been over. It's been an up and down. Because if the thing is the same things that attributed to you having a dismal season, those things are still there. The coach, you know, everything's still there. So obviously, that's not going to get any better. And I think, you know, his time is ran thin in Pittsburgh. I think he could demand a high dollar amount anywhere he goes. He's got an opportunity to, you know, see that his value is pretty high, even though the shenanigans that went on throughout the season, teams want this guy. You know, between him and Le'Veon Bell, and I didn't even really think about it, but think about this. That tandem with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, it don't get no better than that.
It don't.
And them two is your top tier players, and they both don't want to be there. I don't get it.
Me either.
Yeah, they both don't want to be there, and they both letting the world know that they don't want to be there. Le'Veon said, "I'm going to give you your $14 million back."
Yep.
Because I don't want to play for these guys.
Yep.
Antonio Brown's like, "Hey man, I ain't playing in this playoff or this last game for what the hell?" You know. And then there's another thing. And then. And to be honest with you, we can't say for sure, but I just don't think it's Mike Tomlin.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he's the issue. I think it's these position coaches and these higher ups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I think it's all stemming from. I just don't think it's Tomlin, because I think Tomlin understands, you know, these type of individual players.
I think so. I think another thing, too, and Stephen A. sort of kind of hits the nail right on the head. Everybody, if you're talking about Tomlin needs to go. Let me ask you a question. If Tomlin needs to go, A, who going to step in to replace him? You don't have someone who is really be from college. There's no one there ready to take that spot. And I don't see anybody on their staff ready to take that spot. Those two reasons. And then when you look at his success rate, he very rarely has a losing season.
Right.
So I don't understand where all this stuff comes from. Get rid of Tomlin. Get rid of. No, I don't think Tomlin's the issue. Now, that person I'll heart back to who might be the issue, I think Big Ben is the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think Big Ben is the biggest issue.
Yeah, I think that might be the issue too, because he's at that point where, in his career, where he's a top dollar quarterback,
mm-hmm.
And I think he's holding that team hostage. I don't think he's the man that can get it done. Him and Haley had a big falling out before Haley got fired.
Yep.
You know, and Haley's biggest thing with Ben was, he said, the guy don't listen no more. You know, you call in the play, man, he and, you know, Roethlisberger doing something totally different.
Yeah.
And then if he did run something from Haley and it didn't work, he'd be on the sideline chewing him out, you know. But Haley, we all got a taste of what Haley's about, and, you know, but it may stem from Roethlisberger. Maybe them guys just don't want to play with him no more.
Yeah. Yeah. I really see that. We did have football over the weekend. We had the AFC-NFC Pro Bowl. We did have that over the weekend. AFC was the winner in that game, 26-7. I got a question. How the hell you give the Dallas Cowboys coaching staff the best players in the conference and still can't get number 7 points?
Who was that?
How you gonna give the coaching staff pretty much of the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC for the NFC conference in this game?
Mm-hmm.
All this talent, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, right. Russell Wilson, and still only score 7 points.
Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, he played in the game. He was in the Pro Bowl.
Oh, mm-hmm. The AFC.
AFC and NFC Pro Bowl.
You know what? You know they need to do away with that.
You think so?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah,
I think they should put flags on. I mean, you obviously don't want guys to get hurt.
You don't.
But, man, just keep it. Say you made the Pro Bowl and just keep it on paper.
Right.
Because, I think they can save some money. You know, because the main guys that the, and it's, you know, it's fans. You know, it's fan popularity based, really, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the guys you want there can't be there, obviously.
Right.
Or don't want to be there.
Right.
So we always see, like, leading up 3 days before or 4 days, the alternates come in, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of them guys wouldn't have been there. But, yeah, it's just pointless. I mean, they can't, they don't hit hard.
Nope.
You know, they hug the whole time. You know, if you watch the ball snap, them, the big linemen, they just up there hugging and dancing together. Man, what the hell is going on here? Well, it used to be,
what are you creating a new way?
A Smash Mouth game.
Yeah.
But now they need to do away with it.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they moved it. Remember? It used to be played after the Super Bowl.
I remember. Yep. Yep. Now it's before.
And it's just, now it's before the Super Bowl.
Yep. And how come?
Because they said if they moved it, if they people went after the Super Bowl, nobody's interested. You know what I mean?
And how come it can't be played in the same city?
Right.
At
right.
The Super Bowl.
I didn't think about that.
Yes, it's always right. Played. It's
they want to. They want to go where? Honolulu.
Yep. Yep.
Them people sick of them. They're sick of them coming down there and drinking up all their tequila. And they got to watch that bull game. I think it's horrible for football. I think they need to do away with it.
Because it don't mean nothing.
No, it don't mean nothing.
At least the All-Star game in the NBA gets somewhat competitive. You know?
Exactly.
All right. One more thing. Can Tom Brady play until he's 45?
Yeah.
I think so too. I think so mm-hmm. too. The way that
game is going.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
I think
yep.
he can do it.
Definitely.
Too. I think he can do it too. Now, once he hit 45, he better make sure you out. He better make sure you retire, because the wife might get mad. Hey, you don't
yeah,
want
Giselle. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want. Yeah, you don't want to piss Giselle off. Because he won't be able to eat that booty hole no more.
he said he wake
up in the morning.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Face planted.
Yeah, dude.
Like, yeah, dude. Hey, that was some. He shared it.
Yeah.
He shared it. You know. Yeah. You know, just. And you know the first thing he said in his post. His post-game interview after they won last week was, or the week before last, he said, I want to thank my wife for her biggest support system. You know, he threw her right in there. But he said it like, don't let me forget. If I don't say nothing about Giselle,
yeah.
It's going to be problems at home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Oh, Gene, thank you for calling in. Everyone, don't forget, pre- and post-game show coverage of the Super Bowl will be here on Rant EM Radio. We will start the pre-game show at 4 p.m. Be myself, Surfer. Gene is always Gene. Hopefully, Gene will be calling in with us. Cast of Thousands, we'll probably get Tony C. We'll probably get Big Tone. Probably get Rage, because Surfer and Rage are the biggest two Patriot fans ever, so we'll definitely get those guys on board, and we go from there. Last year's show was lit. It was lit, primarily because the Patriots lost, but it was lit. So
right.
It was lit. We had a good time last year. Not Surfer and Rage, but we had a good time last year, so definitely join us. Gene, is there anything else you want to say before we roll out for the night?
I really hope the Lakers get this deal done. I do. And not because I'm a LeBron fanatic, because I am. And but I think I want them to give it to Golden State, man. I want to see, you know, that be the Western Conference Championship. You know what I'm saying? I you can't have LeBron playing basketball and he's at home during the playoffs. It just don't add up, you know. So hopefully they'll get that done. AD will get there and they won't say he was tampering. But you know, for the most part. But yeah, let's hope they get that deal done.
definitely make the West more interesting. But definitely make it interesting.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely make it interesting. My parting shot is, I wish Kevin Durant would just shut the hell up and play some basketball. Every time he opens his mouth, it makes me like him less and less and less. Man, just shut up. Play some basketball. Let it go. Whatever people say to you, just let it go. You're a two-time champion. Let it go.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Let it go, man. Hell. All right. That's going to do it here for me. I want to thank you again, Gene, for being here. Don't forget our pre-post game show coverage of Super Bowl will be here. Rant and Radio, 4 p.m. Eastern. Myself and Surfer will be hosting. Have a good night, and I'll see you guys this Sunday. Take care, man.
Yep, peace out.
Thank you, man.
Yep, see you, buddy.
All right.
Bye. Yeah.